Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
Great to have you here for the best bits of breakfast today. Seems like this morning an early morning traffic report touched a bit of a nerve for Aaron.
On the roads, Hoxton Park Road near Westlink M7, there's an accident there. And look, just because I like saying it, you need snow chains if you're going on the Snowy Mountains Highway because of ice and alpine conditions. Isn't that cool?
Quite literally.
Yeah, it's... Actually, that's a very good point. And I didn't mean to have a excuse the pun kind of moment there. Oh, well.
That's all right, Dad.
Oh, no, it's not a dad joke. I do not go, No. Wrong. Dad joke's bad. Got to be broken out of the Australian culture. Gone forever. I don't do them.
My car's in the shop getting some repairs after someone ran up the back of me a while back. And I've got a rental car.
Mm.
Clearly, the person who rented it before me didn't mind having the odd ciggy in the car, though.
Oh, doesn't it?
Smells appalling.
It beds into the car, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does.
You can never get it out. It's always lingering.
Yeah, but they try and cover it up with the car deodorizer.
Oh, great.
Still with the base notes of ashtray.
Yeah, and it smells like an RSL club or something like that.
Yes, it does. We headed down to the opening night of the Sydney Film Festival last night. Hannah was the movie, starring Cate Blanchett and Eric Bana. But we caught up with a few of our favourite Aussie entertainers on the red carpet outside the State Theatre, like Matt Day, who you'd know from Muriel's Wedding at A Country Practice for all those years. He's been in countless local productions. We found out how long he's actually been on our screens.
I've been working in the industry 25 years now. Yeah, I know, it's a long time.
What do you love about Aussie films?
I love that they have something to say about who we are. No other films do that, you know. It's part of our culture, and that's what makes them really important.
And Todd Lasance was there. He used to be in Home and Away. Now he's in Cloud Street, the big-budget TV remake of Tim Winton's Aussie classic novel. And we found out how he felt about tackling such a major work.
I actually went through different phases. The first phase was utter excitement and blown away. And then second phase, complete mental meltdown, freaked out, realised how epic Cloud Street was. I was obviously aware of it beforehand, but didn't. Once you start doing the research and you realise the scope of the show and how widespread it is and how important your character is, you start to freak out a little bit. But once we got on set and I found out who I was working with, it was just absolute honour of my life so far, with hands down.
Days like this, you're pretty happy to not be shooting on beaches all day anymore?
Pretty happy with that. There's no more everyday summer in Summer Bay apparently, but we still have to get our kit off, so I'm happy to keep the clothes on for now. So
Oh, I can't imagine how cold that'd be. I was so interested to meet Septimus Caton. He's an up-and-coming young actor. His dad is actually Michael Caton from Pack to the Rafters and just about every Australian production. And his dad has had all that furore about him being in the carbon tax ad. And so I asked whether his dad was just sick of all the attention over that.
Pretty sure Dad's pretty sick of them by now. He's had a rough couple of weeks. But, you know, he said what he felt and he meant what he said and he's glad he said it.
And Conrad Colby was there. He's got the end of an era on his hands as Sea Patrol is going through its final season. So we found out about that.
It was great. I think the episode's come out really well, and it's a bit sad that I'm going to miss everybody, but I'm enjoying doing other things, so it's good, yeah. But it's lovely to see the episodes. I think they've come out really well.
Going to miss Mission Beach most of all?
Definitely going to miss Mission Beach. That was the best gig in terms of that. I mean, I had a little house and a little bit of lawn and then the beach right in front of me, so I'm definitely going to miss that.
And on a night where I could barely stand having my hands out of my coat pocket, there were a whole lot of women, you know, in little strapless gowns posing for photos out on the street in the cold outside the State Theatre. So my congratulations had to go to a fabulous up-and-coming young actress called Sophie Lowe. Congratulations on actually wearing a jacket on the red carpet.
I know. I was like, I should take it off for the photos. I'm like, no.
Best dressed person there for all the weather reasons.
Venice, never been there, but it just looks beautiful. All those gondolas and stuff and thingies and people wearing striped shirts doing the whole paddling thing.
Yeah, singing some opera while they paddle.
And a distant piano accordion.
Oh.
Anyway, that's coming to Parramatta.
What?
Yes, Parramatta. There's a kind of a dead section of Parramatta. It's been something that they've struggled with for a long time, just getting it to work. Nothing seems to... There used to be David Jones right at the top of Parramatta near the river.
Mm-hmm.
And when that went, it's just never been the same. And there's never been any traffic there. Nothing's really worked. So this was a competition to redesign and I guess make the next big CBD, Sydney's second CBD. That's a big plan for Parramatta. The winner has proposed a bit of a water world and just sort of
because that went so well for Kevin Costner.
They're going to sink Parramatta a little into the water, have some islands and some nice floating boutiques and cafes and bars and all the rest
really?
Of it.
Really?
We hope it works. I don't want to be too negative, but what if that fails? Then you've just got all these floating empty buildings.
And a lot of mosquitoes.
Yeah, and it's not the cleanest river. It's not very clean. It's a little dirty.
Oh, it makes me feel quite at home, actually. I grew up in Brisbane. Okay. If you've ever seen that river, Parramatta's got nothing, my friend.
Okay. Well, all right.
I was shocked the first time I saw Sydney Harbour. What? Cities have blue water in them?
Apparently, yes. Mm. Apparently, yes. Mm. It'd be nice to go there. If they set that up, I reckon I would go there and check it out, and that'd be really nice.
He's got about 809 pets of his own. I hope they're all sitting on his lap this morning to try and keep him warm. Dr. Mike, our adopted vet, how are you?
Good morning to you. I am in a veritable menagerie of pets around me at present, and I've got to say that, yes, there are some that are just acting a little bit like a furry hot water bottle, which is a good thing on a morning like this morning.
Absolutely. Any of those cats by chance?
They are. You know, I got a letter during the week from our local council that said that for the first time they were requiring cats to be registered. Now, I was thinking, you know, my very first dog, which is, you know, more years ago than I can care to remember, talking about 30 or 40 years ago. You know, way back then in the olden days we had to register our dogs, and it seems like it's taken a long time for cats to sort of be elevated to the stage where the local authority wants to recognise them. And I thought it brought up a very interesting question, which is, you know, are cats in our society, are they like second-class pet citizens? Interesting question. Just wonder if you guys had any thoughts on that.
I would say not if you ask them.
Yeah.
I mean, cats certainly have a bit of an attitude about them, though. I think they've got a pretty strong self-esteem, don't they?
Yeah.
They're not lacking in that department. So I wondered if you guys would be prepared to act as a debating adjudication panel once more. I'm just going to go through the fors and against about, you know, are cats second-class pet citizen? Are you ready for this?
Certainly.
Okay, so this is the dog team, and they're speaking the affirmative. You know, they're actually saying, yeah, dogs are better than cats.
Mm-hmm.
I think their three arguments would be as follows. One is that, you know, that cats are actually a bit of a burden on society. You know, cats do get a bit of a reputation sometimes for, you know, prowling outside at night, fighting, attacking wildlife.
Yeah, that's
definitely an argument which is a bit of a concern. And then, I mean, if you've got a sand pit in the backyard, it's going to be cats that leave little landmines buried in there. So, you know, so dogs would say cats, burden on society. Second thing is, you know, a dog would say that a cat doesn't actually produce, you know, do a lot of useful work. So you think that the contribution the dogs do to society, you know, there's guard dogs, police dogs, tracker dogs.
Assistance dogs? Seeing eye dogs? They're great.
Yeah. And so a dog would say, well, what does a cat do? You know, no useful contribution to society. And then the third argument I think a dog would bring up is to say that this is actually all about intelligence. The reason the dogs do so many jobs is because the dog's a lot more intelligent than a cat. So, I mean, you've got dogs that can do dog dancing, dog agility, but, you know, what does a cat do? You know, they just lie around and sleep and eat. No, that's about it. And so as I thought about that, I thought there are some fairly compelling arguments there from the dog team about, you know, dogs being better than cats.
Uh-huh. But you better jump to the other side pretty quickly because you're losing a lot of friends right now.
And I've got two cats staring at me like now and saying, come on, Dad, speak on our behalf. Number one, cats. Speaking on behalf of cats. Number one, they've got a much smaller carbon footprint.
Oh.
So if you're looking for a carbon neutral pet household, you think about it. I mean, they're a smaller pet. They're great in apartments or, you know, they don't take up nearly as much food. Probably vet bills are going to be smaller. So, you know, they could be argued they're an eco-friendly sort of pet. And the other thing is, you know, when was the last time you were kept up all night by a dog barking? But that doesn't happen. You're not kept up all night by a cat meowing, are you? So, I mean, they're a friendly on our society. Second thing is they do produce useful work. You know, all this thing about guide dogs, that's all overrated as far as cats are concerned. So cats, they catch mice, we know that. They sleep on the foot of your bed and keep your feet warm. And somebody's got to eat all the cat food that's produced in the world. So there you go. The last thing about cat intelligence, I mean, there's a saying that goes, dogs have masters, cats have slaves.
Uh-huh.
So a cat would argue, you know, who's the more intelligent one here? Clearly we are. So I put it to the panel. You've heard the arguments for and against. Are cats a second-class pet citizen in our society?
Aaron, you want to cast your vote?
Look, clearly cats are the ones calling the shots. They are the royalty. Mm. They are, I would say, even above humans. If you own a cat, they call the shots. So
you know, it's absolutely true. There's, you know, our cat, although we provide beautiful fresh water, you know, they come into the... Oh, no, we shouldn't go here, but they like to drink from the shower. So there you are, just trying to have a small private moment in the morning, and they, you know, they sort of knock on the door and say... The running water in the shower is so much more palatable than that still water in the bowl. So, yeah, they definitely rule the roost, Aaron.
At least it's not the still water in another kind of bowl they're going for.
Go there.
So my vote's with
vote,
cats.
Please.
I'm sorry to split this, but my vote's going to go with dogs still. The useful contribution to society, I don't think you can look past that one, really.
That's absolutely true. And so, as usual, I get the casting vote on this. And my veterinary background it forced me to say that our dogs and cats are different rather than better or worse. You know, so in the same way as, you know, we've got five kids in our family, every one of them makes a different contribution. That they've definitely got each one of them has got a role. I think cats can be a great, especially a great pet for an older person, you know, someone who doesn't have either the time or the ability to exercise a pet. They can be an incredible companion. And if handled responsibly, then I think we can get around those things, you know, where the bad rep that they get for getting out attacking wildlife, that sort of thing. We actually manage our cats, very interestingly, as indoor cats. So they're actually within our house the whole time. We've got a really great exercise area for them outside. So... I think they're a very valuable pet and perhaps under-recognised in society. So I speak today on behalf of the cats.
Mm. Well, they don't appreciate it because they don't really care what anyone thinks, but we're glad to have had your time this morning. Exactly. Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.